In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. This is Pastor Wade Coolwind, the administrative pastor at Brookside with Pastor Ken, and we're just delighted that you're tuned in this lovely morning. This weekend services, morning service is at 9, and the second service is at 10:15, evening service at 6 o'clock. Pastor Ken's going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in the morning, and my favorite psalm, Psalm 34 in the evening. Also, tonight, the ladies are having the ladies' event, a dinner theater, and the presentation is called The Scarlet Cord. And several ladies are going to portray women in the Bible and how they came to faith in God and how they ordered their lives according to God's Word and how God blessed them. Call the church office during office hours and register for that. So tonight at 6 and tomorrow at noon. So far, we've been looking at Joshua chapter 24, the closing chapter, and Pastor Ken, in the first four verses on Wednesday, talked about how God chose Israel. Now, this morning, he's going to be talking about how God delivered Israel, verses 5 through 7.
There's nothing more encouraging than when we pray and we see how God has worked. Joshua wants the people to see is what God has been doing for him, how he delivered him. Why don't you read verses 5 through 7, Pastor Wade? He's going back into history here to say, I want you to remember what God has done.
Also, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea, so that they cried out to the Lord. And he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time.
I see really four aspects here in this historical account. First of all, he says, God sent Joseph ahead to preserve Israel. Remember, it was Joseph who said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, and if you remember, they did mean it for evil. Mm-hmm. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. And so God sent Joseph ahead. It was all in his providential plan. Psalm 105 tells us God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. So not only did he send Joseph ahead of time, God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver Israel from Egypt. That's what we find in verses 6 and 7. And these two verses include all of Exodus 14. Israel was helpless. The Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army behind them. And one principle that God wanted them to see is, I am with you. I am in your presence. You know, Pastor Wade, I was reading the other day and came across a story of a fellow who was sharing that a friend of his had come to Christ and had followed the Lord in baptism. He was growing. He was discipling him. And as he got with him, the friend said, Pastor, I'm just telling you, I struggle, you know. Every now and then, I'll have one of these notorious words that kind of burp out of my mouth, and I know God's not pleased with it. And the pastor looked at him and said, so why don't you share those words with me right now? He goes, Pastor? He goes, yeah, no, go on ahead. Cuss me out right now. Use the words that you're having trouble with. He goes, Pastor, you know, I just can't do that. That's embarrassing for me to say these kind of words in front of my pastor. And the pastor said, well, hold on a second. I make you nervous? I mean, you got to keep thinking about you live for an audience of one 24/7. You ought to be nervous that you say these because he is always present with you.
Amen.
And God sent Moses and Aaron, and he wanted the children of Israel, when they were caught between the two mountains on either side, the Red Sea in front of them, and the cloud behind them that had on the other side of the cloud, the whole Egyptian army breathing down their necks, he wanted them to learn, I am always present. Amen. And thirdly, then we see that God is in total control. He destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Friends, unbelief kept Israel in the wilderness. And Israel witnessed this miracle of seeing the Egyptian army on the seashore dead. But then as they stayed in the wilderness, they kept forgetting what God had done for them. I think that's one of a sad omen for any of us, is to forget to remember what God has done for us. But I want you to notice, Pastor Wade, you read verse 7, the last three words of verse 7 is a long time. I mean, what a load is packed into that phrase. Because, friends, half of Exodus, all of Numbers, are compacted into those three words, a long time.
Right.
Their survival from Egypt to Canaan was one long miracle after another. Their unbelief, however, forfeited the rest that they could have experienced there in Canaan much earlier. So God chose Israel. God delivered Israel. Thirdly, verse 8, Pastor Wade, won't you read that? We see that God guided Israel.
And I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you.
So he not only guided them, verses 9 and 10 talks about he protected them, especially over Balak's evil plan. And verses 9 says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. You remember that just really upset Balak's plan. So I delivered you out of his hand. Now, you got to go back to Numbers 22 to 24 to really see the whole picture of what's happening with just these two verses. Remember, Balak had hired Balaam to kind of put the hokey pokey, lickety split, oogada boogada on Israel so that Balak and the Moabites could whip Israel in battle. I mean, if you remember, God made Balaam's donkey even talk to him when Balaam began beating his donkey. It had seen the danger ahead, and then God opened the eyes of Balaam, and the dumb donkey saw the angel of the Lord long before Balaam did. I mean, I started thinking that dumb donkey was sharper than Balaam. Now, this episode sobered up Balaam, and when he tried to curse Israel, only blessings were given to Israel. Balaam was in the vice grip of God, and Joshua is preaching to Israel, remember the protective hand that God has. And so not only did God protect Israel, but God gave Israel the land. He gave them the passage through the Jordan. He gave them the victory over Jericho. This is in verses 11 through 13. He gave them victory over the nations. God defeated the nations, and he used that word hornet there. He said, I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. That's verse 13 of chapter 24. Some believe this hornet could have been a metaphor that God actually fought the battles for Israel. There are others that believe the hornet was some type of plague with a stinging creature of some kind. The general point is that God fought for Israel wherever they went. And God gave them the land, he gave them the cities, he gave them the vineyards, he gave them the olive groves. I mean, you look at it, God handed them ready-made land to live in, and he provided for their every need. I think one recurring theme here as we've been looking at this passage of Scripture is God did this. It's his grace, which is amazing. Never forget the grace of God, and it ought to make you grateful. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Friends, when we see and contemplate the cross, it should make us all grateful. You and I didn't save ourselves at salvation, and we haven't kept ourselves saved since salvation. God has done the saving. You did not build the houses or dig the wells or plant the food. God did it all. God did it then, and we have to see that God is doing it now. Listen to what David said in the first part of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. I mean, did you pick up on that? All our iniquities. We can do nada. A grateful heart is accompanied by a humble spirit. A proud heart looks itself. Hey, I built the business into what it is today. I've heard pastors say, hey, I built that church. Or I've provided a great living for my family. I am the one who deserves this because of what I've done. Let me just say that we're all one heartbeat away from death. One heartbeat away from eternity. People who understand this are humble. They're not proud. If you blow the dust off the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, God finally said enough to the proud spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. God's long-suffering for a period of time, and then he says enough. Like that dog that's tied to the clothesline, it can run for a little bit, and then pow, as far as it can go. And this is what Joshua wants all Israel to realize. So he looks at the past, and then in verses 14 to 24, Joshua is going to look at the present, emphasizing the truth of God. You're going to as we read this, you're going to look at the tenses now and therefore, meaning he's in the presence. Joshua's demand we find here in verses 14 and 15. And Pastor Wade, if you would just read verses 14 and 15 for us.
Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Fear him. Serve him. I mean, fear him. We've talked about this before. It's a definition of really like wholesome worship, respect for God. And my love for God should drive out any fear. Perfect love casts out fear, John tells us in 1 John 4. We're to serve him. Friends, I hope that you are doing just that. You are serving the Lord where God has placed you. And then he's going to use that word serve 18 different times in this chapter. Israel must decide whose slaves are going to be. In other words, Israel must decide who are we going to worship. And then he uses the word repent, surprise, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Stop worshiping the idols brought from Egypt. You know, parents have given to their children these different idols. They were hiding these idols from the past. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I quote, Joshua knew that the people who surrounded him were apparently serving Jehovah, yet they were really secretly worshiping the ancient idols of their Mesopotamian fathers. And some of them harbored the Egyptian emblem. Some had even fallen into the worship of the gods of the people whom they had displaced. How sad. Idol-worshiping Hebrews who haven't yet broken the habits of the past. Friends, have you made a choice today who you're going to worship? We look forward to you being with us in our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.